Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, October 18th, 2010. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California. Our show today will inform, inspire, and encourage you. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Connecting the Dots in the Cosmic Cow Pie of Life, with my guest, Kara Riley. Welcome to all of you, my listeners. I am so honored you made space in your schedule to join us because I realize you have many other things you can choose to do with your time. Now, if you're listening live, I encourage you to participate, and you can do that by asking questions or adding comments. If you're on the phone lines, you just need to press pound 1 to let me know you have a question or a comment. If you're over on the web chat, just type in your questions or your comments, and I'll be able to see them and read them on the air. Now, many of you are probably listening to the recorded version of the show, and I want to welcome you and thank you as well for listening after the show has been recorded. Regardless of how you access the show, if you enjoy it, please don't keep it a secret. Over on my show page at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, you can follow me on Twitter. You can click the like button on my Facebook page, and on that show page, add yourself as a friend of my show. Now, I know that many of you have your own businesses, so before we move on, I want to tell you about the business tool I used to help me discover my ideal client. The Ideal Client Action Guide helped me realize that trying to be everything to everybody is like using a BB gun to hit a bullseye. By working through the activities with the guidance of the audio recording provided, I was able to take the guesswork out of my marketing, and so can you at www.idealclientactionguide.com. So if you're ready to grow your business, add more clients, and enjoy the increased profits you deserve, then tailoring your marketing to your ideal client is the key to your success. So do what I did. Get your copy of the guide today at www.idealclientactionguide.com. Now, for those of you who don't know me, I'm Flora Brown, author, coach, and inspirational speaker. I invite you to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, where you can sign up for life coaching if you're ready to make that U-turn in your life, that Y-O-U-turn. I am also now booking personal appearances for 2011, so if you would like to have me appear in person to motivate, train, or inspire your group, your staff, or some other event you have in mind, go ahead and submit a request on my website. At the top of my homepage, you'll see a tab that says Book Flora. Or you can just email me directly at flora@florabrown.com. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. To get at that goal, each week I interview guests from fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, you name it, all of those things that contribute to lasting happiness. Now, today's episode is Connecting the Dots in the Cosmic Cow Pie of Life. My guest is Kara Riley. She's a speaker, small business, and real estate consultant. Now, Kara reaches out with clarity and passion to share her experience in navigating the cosmic cow pie of life. She's an author, speaker, I've told you, and a small business consultant, but her new book, Cosmic Cow Pie, it's really one in a series, it includes this integrated, principle-centered approach for solving problems with penetrating insights and poignant anecdotes. Her reality writing and honesty inspired the application of 14 principles, which will help anyone trying to adapt in today's evolving world. She is the president of Kara Riley Incorporated and CR Press. She's also a 30-year veteran in real estate and has owned real estate offices in Colorado and Hawaii. She currently teaches classes for the Arizona Association of Realtors and Advantage Solutions Group, LLC. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show today, Kara Rowley. Hi, Kara.
Oh, Flora, thank you so much. I am sending you some sunshine to California, sounds like.
Please do. Please
yes.
do. I need it.
Well,
it's a myth that it's always sunny in California. That's not true.
Yeah, well, I think we make our own sunshine, and you are one of the queens of doing that. So it's just a pleasure to be on your show, and
I appreciate
you asking me.
Certainly, certainly. Well, I know that everybody wants to find out the number one question that people ask me when they heard this title, and that is, what is a cosmic cow pie?
That is
so
a very good
question. How did you get that name?
See, it makes people laugh. They're like,
what does that mean?
Laughing helps with happiness. That's what you're all about. But cow pies are actually cow pies. You know, those little presents left in a field by a cow. And cosmic indicates universe. And I don't know very many people who are not navigating flying cow pies today. Because the world has just changed. And so our job in trying to create balance, reduce stress, is to be able to navigate through those cow pies, because it's just one cow pie after another usually in a day, and it's how we manage those depends on our happiness, which is what you're all about, is the happiness. And
exactly.
It's like once we realize, well, there's just another cow pie, it's not as anxiety-ridden when you're laughing about it.
Instead
of making it be something crazy, it's like, well, it's just what we do. We manage our mess because every day we get a new one. We get an opportunity to choose and select how we want to handle those cow pies that are flying. So this is actually a series like Chicken Soup for the Soul. This will be Cosmic Cow Pie. The first one is Connecting the Dots. I'm working on books for children, connecting the preschool dots, the elementary school, and the middle school. So it's all going to be fun. So the name should represent fun and nothing but fun and happiness, because that's what we'll
do. I'm glad to hear you're doing the books for the lower grades, because wouldn't it be great if we understood how we can manage our own lives early on?
So that
we don't go through being surprised at these cow pies, that we just learn to manage them.
You know, that is exactly, you know, and I believe there's one mind, and that is the concept that came clear through to me in identifying the 14 principles of reducing stress and how to process things that come into our lives, and then make it age appropriate. Because it really, to get those pits out of your tummy when you're growing up, definitely is helpful. And the book is helping adults too, just process some of the anxiety that we go through. And so it's just going to be fun once the adults really get it, and that's one of the chapters in the book is, I get it and I don't get it.
I get it, I don't get it. I read that chapter.
And it's just, you know, once you understand, then things really just don't bother you anymore. You know, you just kind of build a bridge and you move on. And,
I like that. Build a bridge and get over it.
Yes.
I like that chapter.
Well, actually,
some of those ideas.
These are really the 14 principles, and they're fun. I think we'll start right there where you started there with the build the bridge, and really I have to give Barbara DeAngelis credit for that concept. She was a keynote speaker at a convention I was at, and it just made so much sense, you know, to resonate that why are we piddling around with something you can't change? You know, when you look the 12-step programs, it's like, if you can't do something about anything, we just made this up. My daughter got married on 10-10-10, and we added a new rule. We have rules for life, and we just added a new one, and it's the 10-second rule. You can have a pity party for 10 seconds. 10 whole seconds, and then you got to move on, because if there's nothing you can do about it, then it's just like the spilt milk. There's nothing you can do about it. Get the sponge, wipe it up. You know, so it's like if someone is sick and not going to be able to come, they're not going to be able to come. Don't be sad.
Right.
Make a new plan. And
right.
that just rolls right over into the plan B. Always have a plan B, which I think is one of the most important concepts for people to really grasp. And as I got feedback from the book, one of the very sad things I realized with comments were some people didn't even have a plan A.
Oh my gosh.
Well,
yeah.
You know, and as a coach, that's what you do. You help people create a plan A. And as we're evolving right now in the economy that is different than any of us have ever experienced, because we were at a time when money grew on trees and now it's kind of dried up. And so you've got to be happy with the fact you have a plan B. Okay, because plan A is not working for very many people that I know right now. Whatever they have humanly outlined in their consciousness, and it's like, well, you got to make a new plan. This one isn't working
anymore.
Is that what you're helping people with as they're okay?
Well, I want to point out something that you said in your book about plan A, and that was you cited a research that was done. I think it was at Harvard. Where they studied people who were successful, and they looked at them back, I guess, when they were in school, and then they looked at them later, and they discovered that those who had a written plan, I want to stress the importance of a written plan, were the ones who were successful. And I also want to point out that just because you have a written plan doesn't mean you won't have to go to plan B, as you said. But having that written plan to start gives you a direction. And then as long as you keep in mind that you may have to modify, alter, or maybe even discard and rewrite your written plan, you still are ahead of the person or the people who don't have written plans.
That is exactly right. It was a Harvard study, and it was of attorneys. And I think only 80% or 70% of them who had a plan in their mind made about 100 times more than someone who didn't even have a plan, you know, where they just graduated and just went out and thought they would, you know, become an attorney. But those who had written specific plans made over 1,000 times times what those who didn't, because they had a direction. When they got up in the morning, they knew what they were going to do. And I think that is a real key. And you hit on something that will help reduce stress and anxiety, is that even though you have a plan, you might have to reevaluate. You might have to turn right. You might have to turn left. And right now, I'm sure you're helping people with their fourth quarter planning. You know, if things weren't processing right in the first three quarters, you need to do something different. I think Zig Ziglar said, if you do what you've always done, you get what you've always done.
It's like that airplane thing with the turbulence. Whenever the pilot is experiencing turbulence, he often announces to the passengers that he's going to increase altitude to get above the turbulence. And sometimes we are experiencing problems because we need to rise above that. We need to make another plan, but we certainly can't just wallow there in the turbulence, or as Zig Ziglar's point is, just keep doing what we've been doing. Obviously something else has to be done, and sometimes we don't think of what that is until we do hit turbulence, but we certainly need to be aware we need to do another plan, and that's what's important to realize, and you trust that you'll figure it out.
Well, you know, that's exactly right, and so we can call it
turbulence.
Did I lose
you there, Kara?
No, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
While we're waiting for Kara to come back on, I want to point out to all of you that her book is available over on Amazon.com. So you can go ahead over there and get it after the show and learn all about the cosmic cow pie and start figuring out
I'm here, Flora.
How to use those 14 principles. I was going on to talk about your principles. I'd like to have you tell us some other ones that people have indicated have been most helpful to them in your book. What are some of the other principles?
Okay, we've got another one that's called the SWSWSWN principle. And this is, it seems like we're grown up. I'm a baby boomer, where our parents said, you know, we wanted people to like us. And so we were always trying to please everyone. Now, when your show first started, you were talking about the ideal client and that not everybody is going to be attracted to whatever it is you're marketing or trying to sell. And I think this principle goes exactly with what you're teaching. You can't hit that bullseye with a BB gun. So you need to understand that SWSWSWN. Some will, some won't, so what next? That it's like, and just think about that. If you relate it to your grade school and your high school, you know, worrying about everybody not liking you because there were certain kids, there were certain sports-oriented kids, there were maybe kids who did drugs, there were maybe kids who were loved the library. Mm-hmm. It's okay that each group hangs out with each other and they like doing what they like to do. We don't all like the same things. We don't all want to skydive. We don't all want to snow ski. And I think that as people change their thoughts, they don't have to spend years of therapy, and that's one of the other chapters. You don't need Dr. Phil.
You don't need Dr. Phil.
You just need to change your consciousness and do your highest sense of right, what works for you. So as I was working on this chapter, I just got back from a trip to London and had interviewed Carmel Greenwood, who actually did relationships with the stars, and she had two kids that became heroin addicts, okay? And part of her learning was that she was trying to live life for them, make everything nice. And she needed to back off, let go, and let them learn what they needed to learn. And that in applying this principle, we talked about, for children, maybe not so black and white with the some will, some won't, so what next. How about some will, some won't, so what love? Just unconditionally love. Let them know, let them go that it's okay that you don't like me, that I love working on the computer. I am a geek, and I can speak geek, and you can't, and that's okay. You know, I think it's all about respect and the golden rule, really, treating others the way you would want to be treated, and that respect the fact that they do something different than you do. And I think if we started with that, it would help our children. And it actually helps ourselves, that we don't have to like. It does. Right now, this minute, we don't have to like everything everybody else does. And that's okay.
That's
and the other thing is, it's okay to say no.
You better learn to say no.
I think so. And that's the chapter on It's Not My Monkey. Okay.
That's right. I like that one.
Yes,
because I'm guilty of that. I was guilty of that in the past, carrying somebody else's monkey.
And that's what Carmel was that we were talking about with our kids sometimes. We take on, it's easier for us to do it, so rather than let them learn on their own or make their own mistakes, we try and fix it for them. That doesn't help them. It doesn't help us because when you're talking to overachievers, they can get something done in maybe 5 to 10 minutes. That might take somebody a couple hours. But when you keep saying, yes, I'll do this, yes, I'll do this, it gives imbalance in your life and causes more stress because you add too many things on your plate. And it works. They tend to give the person who can do all that work, they just tend to just pile it on.
How well do I know that one?
Yeah. So it's saying, being able to say, hey, this isn't my monkey. And you can do it and maybe help them manage the mess, which is another chapter, is like, here's how you do it. I cannot do this for you.
Right,
and I had a little example with a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. This is so cute because their parents were trying to teach the kids some of these principles, and so they're called the Cosmic Alpine family. But they had this little monkey, and the 4-year-old, because he was there are certain jobs that he had to do, and the 2-year-old, the mom still needed to tie her shoe. She hadn't learned. Mm-hmm. And so the 4-year-old wanted to have the mom tie his shoe. And so she just said, you know, hey, whose monkey is it to tie your shoe? And they just laughed, and he goes, that's my monkey. So then he just was happy to tie his shoe. But it took the mom, you know, the time to be able to talk to him and explain to him that this is his responsibility, not hers.
Right, right, right.
And so I think, too, as we are in organizations, and sometimes we get in too many. It's like, what can you do good? Can you do one thing at your church or your faith organization? Can you do one thing in a professional organization that you belong to? But when you start getting into 6, 7, 8
right.
different extra activities plus your work, there's no balance in that. You've got to say no.
Yeah, or you really do yourself a disservice, because then you aren't getting done whatever your primary thing is that you want to get done in your life. Even though, you know, I think what traps us, what tricks us, is that all of those things that we may be doing are good. You know, you just said, you know, like your faith organization, networking groups, all of these are good things. I mean, they're worthy goals. And I think that's what traps us. Those things may be good, but they may not be good for you to do all at the same time.
Well,
so you have to set some priorities.
Yes, and you have to have the balance, and that's where the plan comes in. Because if you just get up in the day and you don't have a plan for the day happens to you. And you have to plan white space in there. You have to have, you know, when you're looking at your day timer or your phone or wherever you're putting all your appointments, you do have to have white space, because cow pies happen in the middle of the day, and if you have every single space filled up, you can't manage the mess that comes up. So it really is thinking in advance. When I would go on vacation in business, I would say I was leaving the day before I actually left. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because it inevitably, in your business, does the same thing happen if you're going to leave? You get 4 fires the day before you're going to leave.
Oh, yes.
So I learned how to manage that mess, and I just said I was leaving a day early because I knew there was going to be stuff that would come up, and that way I could calmly handle those fires that I planned for, or those cow pies, because every single time it happens.
Every time.
And then when you come back from vacation, this is another plus. Okay.
I just came back from vacation.
Yeah, okay.
I can relate to that.
Yeah, so if you say, okay, I'm not coming back, and give yourself 1 or 2 days before you're back in the saddle, then you can manage those cow pies that all happened while you were gone, and then calmly go forward. So my whole principle, my whole workshops, all the things that I try and help people with is really taking control of your time and your thoughts. And just like you say, you know, you have a choice. I can be happy today, or I can be depressed. and so my choice is happy.
And, you know, those things that happen in the world, they're going to happen with or without you regardless. And that's why making your choice of how you're going to react to them is very critical. I want to emphasize something you just said about white space, because I can remember when I taught community college, I'd have – every now and then I'd have a student in my 8 a.m. class who was frantic about when class was going to be dismissed because they had to be at work at 9 o'clock. And I'd go, what? You know, they signed up for an 8 o'clock class that ended at 8:50. They had to be at work at 9, and they were, of course, trying to squeeze in school and work. They hadn't allowed any white space in their lives, and it was stress-producing. I mean, they were so stressed. I could feel it. It was, you know, everybody could feel their stress. So I would, you know, encourage them to drop that class and take another class or take it at another time or try to change their work schedule, something, because they were setting themselves up for not only failure, but also for illness. They were setting themselves up for traffic accidents, all kinds of things that were going to happen because they were trying to live life without any white space and any gaps in between to even allow transition from one thing to the next. And that's something we have to plan into our schedules or else. Just like your example of the day before and after vacation, you have to allow that space.
Well, and the other thing is, like, when people go and take seminars, okay, where they'll spend, you know, $300, $500,000 and go to a seminar, if you don't take the day after that seminar to process and assimilate the information, you wasted your money.
That's
because if you are not going to implement at least one or two things of what you learned, modify your behavior, you might as well not go because it's not going to work. I mean, you are not going to apply. I know the statistics are that when you actually do go speak in front of people, 10% of the people will do what you've told them to do. You know, because they just hear it, kind of goes in one ear and out the other. So once you realize, gosh, I have to take some responsibility for modifying my behavior with all these great things that I've learned and apply them to my life, then I have actually changed and made a difference in my stress level, my balance, and my happiness.
Yeah, even if you only do one thing. I mean, many times... We're going to learn many more things than we can implement, but taking time, like you say, to implement one of those things, just one of those things, can make such a big difference, and most people don't, unfortunately. They just don't.
Right.
Now, I want to ask you a question about social media, because right now social media is hot, and everybody who's online. And do you think people are losing their days by processing engagement and social media? You think they're losing days out of their lives? You know, are they wasting whole days or whole chunks of time?
Oh, absolutely. And I have a new ebook coming out, it's just Cosmic Shift Happens. And Cosmic Shift, S-H-I-F-T, happens because it really is. I mean, you can order your pizza online from Pizza Hut. You don't even have to call them anymore. When you want tax forms from your county, they don't even mail them or fax them. You have to go online and print them. So people really need to – it makes sense to be green, and it makes sense for cost management of any business now to have all the forms accessible online. But what that means is – you have to understand and be able to communicate online. You have to know how to open up the website and print out the form. So it's a whole growing thing. And I know that there's a whole bunch of people out there who thought, gee, I've had a great career. I'm, you know, at the top of my game. I don't want to learn anymore. Now,
my goodness.
That thought has to be corrected, yes, because my 91-year-old mother-in-law does email every day. That is her connection to the world and family. She, even though, you know, she's just telling us what she had for lunch or if some great grandkids.
That's her world.
It is her world, and
that's
it keeps her going. And So she can see pictures of all the things that are going on in our lives. And so the cosmic shift is happening, and people are just going to have to realize that they need to take the chalk strap off your brain and let the new ideas and concepts flow in. Did you get a visual on that one?
I said, boy, she throws out some great visuals.
Yeah. Well, you know, because you just feel so constrained, and it's like, okay, I've got to learn something new. So every day it's like, okay, so I'm going to learn something new. And you talked about the time. It is a major time robber to learn all of this. So actually, I think in this particular case, people ought to take a 2 or 3 day class to get up to speed instead of spending months. Flora, you and I in the green room were talking about where we met, and we met online in a group, 100 articles in 100 days.
Right, a challenge.
And that was over a year and a half ago.
Right.
We've connected through LinkedIn, and we've connected on Facebook. And these are things that now we've taken our relationship to the next level on the radio and sharing our concepts. This would not have been possible without social media.
Exactly.
And people who are connecting with people, when I went to London, this is no joke, somebody from my Facebook from France, okay, flew in from her little town in France to London to meet us at Waterloo, and we went on the London Eye and had lunch. Now that's how international, and I did a video of the meetup, and now, how would she feel? She was so funny because she was talking about, well, gosh, if I was a male, would she have been willing to have lunch? And, you know, we've interacted probably at least 6 or 8 months. So she sees what I write on my wall and how all the things that I'm posting, and I see what she's doing. So it's like, no, this is a real legitimate business person who's there. And we totally then connected for an international connection. So when you say, yes, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, every single arm of the social media is really important. The learning curve does create a huge cow pie and a lot of stress, okay? So either connecting with someone on a one-on-one basis where you can learn what you need to know and say, I'm going to spend, this is where you take your white space and say, I'm going to spend a couple days just learning this, what's good and what's bad, because I've just spent the last 2 years learning it, and it's almost been 10 to 12 hours a day. I don't understand how people can't have a real job, kids, do all their activities, and learn social media. It's just, it's kind of impossible. So you're going to have to put that in as I have to spend some money and go to a class and learn this. Or I have to learn it online. They have webinars and then realize that the connection from the social media is what gets you started, and then you have to take it to that next level. And I loved your example of the plan B with the airplane, because you have to go to a higher altitude. You have to get to that next level, or it is a waste of time, because if you haven't moved it to another level where you're connecting and networking and creating cash flow, if that's what your goal is, if you're just looking to socialize with people, well, then fine. But if you're looking to maximize your time and profitability of your business, the internet will help you do that, but you do have to manage it.
It's too bad, though. So many people are afraid of it, or they are resisting it, instead of, as you talked about earlier, accepting it is a fact of life. Obviously, no one of us can master all that's out there at once, and we shouldn't even try to, because it's changing as we speak. You know, we learn the basics of what we need to know to do what we need to do, but we have to implement. You mentioned earlier, we have to use it. So, you know, if you're not using your email daily, or you're not checking in on Facebook daily or whatever, you're not going to be able to use it at any useful level. But eventually you get the hang of it, and then, of course, by the time you get the hang of it, then Facebook goes and changes to something else. But that's how you started your book. At the very beginning of your book, you said one of the first things I read was change. Change is inevitable. And it's in the air, but it's inevitable. We got to face that it changes. So if we take the principles you're proposing in your book, we'll be able to handle change because we, first of all, will accept that it's the way things are, and that whatever you learn today, you're going to have to modify, upgrade, and so forth, and just roll with that. Just roll with that.
And you just identified, I think, in terms that really connected dots for me, that people have the fear. That's why they're not accepting or wanting to go into social media. And a lot of it is kind of high-profile people who really are perfectionists. They don't want to make a mistake. So they don't want to go out there and put themselves out there and make a mistake. And this is where we have to go to the chapter I have on you have to practice to get to Carnegie Hall. And people need to give themselves a get-out-of-jail-free card and say, you don't know how to do this until you practice. Just think about when you go to a restaurant and the girl says or the guy says, this is my first day as a waiter or a waitress, okay? What, you're kind to them. You probably even give them a bigger tip because you know they don't have a clue of what's going on or they're just trying the best they can. Now, and in real estate, I used to tell that to new people. It's like, you need to tell these people you're new, but you're associated with people who know the answers. So just because you don't, you'll find the answer. So telling people that you're practicing or that you're new in social media is not bad because then they might want to help you. You know, and I think that's where you and I connected because I was brand spanking new in the social media and you were so kind and you were like, what can I do to help you? And you were just so sweet. And I think if people realize that you do have to practice to get good at anything. You can't play the piano without practice. You can't, you know, shoot par golf if you don't practice. You can't shoot three-point baskets if you don't practice from the three-point line. You know, so I think people need to give themselves a break. And that, again, reduces stress, creates balance, and makes them happy because they realize they have to practice.
And you know what? People need to be aware that people who know what they're doing are happy to help the people just beneath them to learn what, because they know that they needed help. And most of us just learned what we learned in the last 6 months to a year. You know what I'm saying? We're constantly learning. So as soon as we learn and figure it out, most of us are happy to help the person who is just where we were just 6 months ago. So I think if people realize that, then they will be more willing to just ask for help as you go along. And everybody's not selling something to help you. Many people are offering free help just over in social media, on Twitter and on Facebook. You can post questions.
Oh, that is so true. And usually what happens is that they tell you everything you need to know in the 30 minutes or the 60 minutes. And if you can just keep listening to it and keep listening to it, then you will start to get it. You will start to process it. But you just have to get out there and try it. And this was Orville Wilson, Guerrilla Marketing, he had this wonderful idea. He was on a blog talk radio show and talked about create a practice profile. So if you don't know how to tweet, make one up and then go out there and practice with one that's not attached to your name. And then once you learn how to do it, you can tweet away on your own name.
Wow. I hadn't heard of that one before.
I thought it was an excellent idea that you could practice, you know, seeing how it works and how do you program it and what's Hootsuite and how can you get things out there for your business and a landing page. It's a whole new elephant to eat, you know, with marketing.
New vocabulary.
And, oh, my gosh,
new vocabulary. How can people get in touch with you, Kara, who want to learn more about your series or, you know, more about, I know they can get your book at Amazon.com, but do you have a website that listeners can visit?
Yes, and it's cosmiccowpie.com. Cosmic, C-O-S-M-I-C, cow, C-O-W-pie, P-I-E, .com. And you can get a free chapter of the book, and I'm just getting ready to upload the free chapters of the children's workbooks. And so what these are is it's a workbook for the parent, and then how to be talking about the concept at age-appropriate examples. And I have examples from kids from the preschool up through the middle school and on how to do it, because it really shouldn't have to be sit down and let's do this lesson.
Right.
When you're
right.
in the car driving somewhere, when you're in the pool, when you're, you know, you're shopping, it should just kind of be a natural role and a flow of the concept so that they get it. And I know that there was an 11-year-old boy, he just loved that SWSWSWN because I live in a rural area of Williams, Arizona, the gateway to the Grand Canyon, and he likes to hunt and he likes to fish, and he's a granola guy. You know, he loves the outdoors, but some of the kids are into, you know, the computer and the iBox games and kind of hard punk rock kind of stuff. And so he was feeling really good about understanding that concept, that it's okay that those kids don't care to hunt and fish like he does.
Right. And that's so wonderful for a kid to learn at an early age so that they don't waste time in life thinking something's wrong with them because everybody doesn't like what they like. That's
exactly.
wonderful. We're about 3 minutes to the end of the show. Can you take the next minute or so to tell us three things that you want to leave people with? And I know they can get expanded versions in your book, but what are three things you want to, three concepts?
Well, I think today the very most important concept is that it's okay to be on to plan B, all right, that what you were doing isn't quite working. A lot of people losing homes to foreclosure. It's like the whole world is. So just get over that. Build a bridge. Forget about it. And just move on to the next chapter. And if you take that higher in a spiritual concept, you know, so many times we're doing human planning, and really it needs to be from above. Listen to what your passions are. Take that new direction and implement what's going to make you happy. The second would be communication issues, that be sure and communicate with people. Don't ever work in anger. And sometimes it's best to say no when you're taking that, it's not my monkey, but just say, no, I can't answer this question right now. Because do you know so many times people want to force you to make a decision, and they're in a hurry, and if you can just take a step back and say, you know, I'll answer you, but I can't answer you right now, because the answer I'll give you right now might be a mistake and I might change my mind. So why don't we just wait and let me make it when I've had time to process it. Yeah, and then know who your monkeys are. And that all comes into managing the mess and making a plan. Know what your responsibilities are and then plan for them. So as you go through and plan for the cow pies, because once you realize, you know, that you've got to navigate through the cosmos with all the things that are out there, it relieves the stress. And it actually creates balance when you just say, you know what, this is what I got to do. So you're just feeling lighter. You're just feeling much lighter. So do you feel lighter, Flora?
I do. Thank you so much. Thank you for coming on today. And I want to thank the listeners for tuning in and invite everyone to join me again next Monday, October 25th at 11 a.m. for another inspiring and exciting show. Don't forget, you can go over to www.cosmiccowpie.com to read a free chapter of Kara's current book and, of course, to keep up with her upcoming books for children. Let me remind all of you to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, to learn more about my book, my speaking program, coaching, and other activities. And be sure to sign up for my free newsletter when you're there, too. I'm your host, Flora Brown of Color Your Life Happy, the radio show designed to help you uncover the joy you deserve. I want to have all of you to have a blessed week, and you know what I'm going to ask you to do in order for that to happen. I'm going to ask you to color your life
color,
happy.
Color your life happy.
Color.
Every day you can choose. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
Color your life happy.